Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, September 13th, 2019. We are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 54, the second full paragraph that begins, Imagine Life Without Faith. Today's readers are Shelley E. on the 12 Steps, Athena B. on the 12 Traditions. Reading the text are Julie E. B., Jordan L., and Don B. Our newcomer greeter is Hoodie R. Giving us announcements is Reggie O., and setting up the recording is Lynn S. Thank you all for your service. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, September 12th, 10 a.m. meeting is 13,394, or 13,394. And this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 13,396, 13,396. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Excuse me. I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. And now I'll ask Athena B. to read our 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to say principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Athena B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 54, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Julie E.B. to get us started. Press star 1, Julie, to unmute.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. Sorry about that. Took a second there. Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Just blessed to be on the line today and grateful for entire abstinence and for the gifts of this program and the steps. Imagine life without faith. Were nothing left but pure reason, it wouldn't be life. But we believed in life, of course we did. We could not prove life in the sense that you can prove a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Yet, there it was. Could we still say the whole thing was nothing but a mass of electrons created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling on to a destiny of nothingness? Of course we couldn't. The electrons themselves seemed more intelligent than that, at least so the chemist said. Well, I'm Julie, as I said, gratefully recovered today. And there's several things that are funny about this. One of the first is that my kids would tell you that I chose a college on the basis of no science. And as they get into their science majors and different things they're doing, I'm known to have a very little knowledge of science. Instead, I took a degree in faith. But while I was taking and earning a degree in faith, I never realized that I had a faith enough, that is, that there was this good God for everybody else around me, that there was a God who created the universe, who, in fact, I could look at these rocks I'm staring at right now in the Garden of the Gods, these rocks so immense and enormous that they just look like a playground to the gods, the first people that encounter them. And they're so much bigger than anything I could imagine. But with nothing left but pure reason, I had reasoned out in my head, never admitting it to myself, but reasoned out in my head that I didn't have care and protection, the things I needed early in my life, care, the provision of everything we need for our health, welfare, maintenance of our condition, protection, prevention of injury and harm. And so when I encountered in the big book this little prayer, we asked for God's prayer, care and protection with complete abandon, full, not of the food, but full of giving up, not of self-will, but full of giving up. All of a sudden, there was a straight line there that I could see, that with my reason, honestly, I saw nothing, created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling onto nothingness. That's how my inner life and landscape had become. That's how I saw the people in my life. That's how I saw the things I was doing in my life. There was no meaning to it anymore. So why not? Just the food, one day after the next. Why not? I can imagine a life without faith. It's just bag after bag, box after box, bite after bite, and then a diet where I'd lose a whole bunch of weight and everyone would think I was amazing, even though I was practicing anorexia and hurting myself and my body. So, it was all nothingness. And when I came to realize that I didn't have faith, I didn't have a connection, a belief that was as solid as these rocks, that there was, in fact, something bigger than me, like these rocks are bigger than me, that was before me and after me and around me and in me, and that cared for me, and that I could connect with that care and protection. It wasn't until then that I had the beginning of faith, a faith that changes things. I'd like to quote my favorite section of the second step prayer from my other program. Faith is also an action, and as I practice it, I develop faith. Belief is also an action. As I practice it, I develop faith. So I'm practicing with you guys today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, who would like to share on this paragraph today?
Irene B.
I'm sorry, was that Eileen B?
Irene, with an
Eileen
R.
B, okay.
With Irene.
Oh, Irene. Sorry there. Okay, I got it. Irene.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Danelle M.
Danelle M. Who after Danelle? Anybody else want to share?
Melanie C.
Melanie C. Okay, well, we can start with those, and I'm sure that will inspire others to share as well. Let's begin with Irene B. Irene, please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., an abstinent and very, very grateful recovering bulimic. I absolutely love this paragraph. Can you imagine your life without faith? Oh, gosh, Absolutely not. Without faith, I would be so lost. I would be in despair. I would have no hope. I would still be in my bulimia. I would be suicidal. I would be despondent. I would be a poor excuse of a human being. I would be in so much pain. It would be awful to not have faith. And with faith comes belief. And I shared recently that for me, well, back up. I know I always had faith, but then things didn't work out the way that I wanted them to work out. So later in life, I had so many doubts and anger and confusion. I had to make a cognitive decision. But that decision had to come through trust. And I was out of options, so I chose to believe. And first, I had faith and trust in God because I knew He was the answer. And then I had faith and trust in an eating disorders program, but it dissolved. It went away. So I didn't have that anymore. I was told that OA was not for bulimics, so I had nothing for 30-plus years. But then I heard that OA was, in fact, for bulimics. And so I put my faith and trust not only in God, but I put my faith and trust in this program that somehow this program was going to be able to accomplish what $1 million worth of therapy always ended up in a place where I was stuck and I could not get past a certain point. But I had no options. So I made a decision that I had to give OA a chance because, for one thing, I saw that the OA program for Alcoholics Anonymous worked and that it worked for so many people that, you know, a similar program for eating disorders people or for people who have a difficulty with food would work as well. So I put my faith in this program and it worked. And I will just say that yesterday was a day from hell. And because of this program, a day from hell ended up in a feeling of love, bliss, peace, and calm. And without this program and without faith, I would be lost. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Christina J., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from Washington State.
We lost you, Christina. Press star one.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now I can. Yes.
Okay, good. These last couple days of readings and meetings have really gotten me to think about, you know, what I worshipped and what I had my faith in coming up. And as a child, I always refer back to my childhood because those roots of my pain and my suffering and my beliefs in life go clear back to that time. And no one was getting on their knees and praying when I was a child amidst horrific drama of abuse, mental, physical, and emotional abuse. So I moved forward in life. My mother got us into church, and I always would go outside, and nature was my solace. The silence was my solace, the beauty, and I knew that there was something bigger than me there. And I started relating to what I would call God back then, and He was just my protector and my safety net and my friend, and I called Him Father because I really didn't have a dad. And so to live a life without faith in that scares the holy crap out of me. I wouldn't know what I would do. But as I went through life, what I found was that I had faith in my thoughts. My thoughts took precedence over God's guidance in my life. I didn't know that was happening. I thought every thought that came in my head pretty much was, unless I got a real strong intuitive warning, was God speaking to me, say, go here, go there. Okay, this is going to be good for you, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of that I look back, and even today, was based in fear. Fear was driving my thought processes that I would never make it in the world that I wanted to make it in, that I would never be loved unless I did this or that or the other. Thousand forms of fear was my life. And so as I got into program and I put down the food and got rid of the food allergy, and I slowly opened up to the knowledge that this God that I had been living with all my life in my heart, that I feel my heart swell with and joy, could guide my life. I didn't have to listen to every thought. I needed to get quiet and put the thoughts down and listen to where God was taking me and just stay in today. Today's all I have to worry about. Sure, I have to take steps towards what I feel my future will hold, but I have to listen to God's guidance in that. And so yesterday, I'll finish up with this. At work, I was watching someone on a YouTube video, and it reminded me of my old days when I was younger, pushing and shoving towards a music career. And I got afraid. The woman, the child in me said, you didn't make it like you thought you were going to make it. And look at this girl. She's really going gung-ho, and she's going to make it. Who knows if she's going to make it? I did the same thing. But I struggled with that fear all night last night, and I said to myself, finally, God, take this away. It's not real. It's old. And within minutes, I was back to sleep. Once I realized I didn't have to buy into those thoughts in my head of fear anymore. Love you guys. Thank you all so much for this wonderful meeting. And moderator for your service, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Christina J. Danelle W., please share with us. Press star one, Danelle.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, perfect. Great. A big thank you to Team Friday for this amazing meeting. This is Danelle M. in Pennsylvania. Imagine life without faith. You know, when I first came into this program, I didn't think that I had very much faith. But by learning from those who went down the road before me and listening to those who shared on this line and were so courageous and generous with their shares, what I learned is that I actually did have a lot of faith. It was just faith in self-reliance and faith in finite, limited, fallible, man-made things. You know, I had faith when I drove my car over a bridge that it would get safely to the other side. I had faith that when I used the GPS, it would tell me with the right directions how to get to my destination. I had faith that when I downloaded software updates on my phone, it would give exactly what was needed. And I definitely put my faith in my disease on the scale, because I got on there all the time and it was the thing that I looked to tell me if I was okay or not. What I didn't want to do at that point in my life was surrender my faith to the God of my understanding, because I still wanted to run the show. You know, I wanted to hold those reins so tightly and I was afraid to let go of them. But when I heard from those of you who had gone before me and did that, I was so inspired and motivated. And the big book reminded me that in order to recover from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, I needed faith in something that was greater than human power, to produce that entire psychic change. And so when I finally surrendered and waved that white flag and turned my faith and my trust over to the higher power of my understanding, whom I choose to call God, miracles happened, things that I never would have believed. And it gave me a life beyond my wildest dreams with freedom from this food. And I'm just so grateful for that. So have a great weekend, everybody. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Danelle N. Melanie C., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon. I was contemplating this and on a more simpler level, I think, for me, thinking about the idea of imagine life without faith and what's going on for me. I wasn't even able to look at the idea that true, a starlit night was, you know, certainly wonderful, and the vast ocean was fabulous, and that helped me a lot. Yet, you know, as a symptom of this disease, I can't get enough. I'm chasing the effect of absolutely scratching frantically for that last piece to be able to scratch that itch, and it isn't going to happen. It isn't enough. So no wonder I even found a power greater than myself flawed or inadequate. I had moved along a spectrum of something affecting me clearly in my heart. When I was younger, I was moved by certain kinds of things then, and yet as time went on and the faith was lapsing, I moved into agnosticism and then atheism and all some sort of attempt to reason this deal out. But I finally got to the place where I ran out of Monday mornings. And I ran out of January 2nd. And I ran out of trying to imagine the next way in which I was going to put down a plan of eating that I wouldn't eventually just buckle under and renegotiate the plan. And in an attempt to treat this despicable disease, which is simply a maladjustment of the mind, that is, you know, clinically true and emotionally and spiritually obvious. So along the way, I found that a way in which to understand what life without faith would be like. I had no faith in anything. That's what this lack of Mondays were all about. I had no faith that it was going to work anymore. But most important, and I think this was a turning point for me and very, very, very poignant, I found in terms of looking back because of where I'm at today, is that I got sick of me. I got sick of the next best idea. I got sick of considering what I could do. I even got sick of trying to adjust to what the conditions were that I was living in then. I was in that place, that place of nowhere, that last surge, that last bit, I mean, it was just a snippet of light brought me to what if. What if I could ask for help? What if? And there was just a snippet. And in that snippet, I picked up the phone, and I don't know how come I couldn't even see the dial pad. And the rest is a beautiful testimony to the power that's in this big book and the fellowship that pours into my life every single day. And for that, I will never be able to repay that debt, and I'm grateful. Pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Okay, I'd like to take some more names of people who would like to share in this paragraph.
Mo H.
I'm sorry. Who was that? I heard another male voice, I believe.
It's Bruce E.
Thanks, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Kayla T.
Kara L.
Beatrice O. Maybe one more. Okay, we'll stop there. Mo H., please share with us.
Yes, good morning. Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. And thank you, Team Friday, for your service. Thank you, moderator, for leading the meeting. And, okay, imagine life without faith. So as I was listening to the shares, what was coming up for me is I've always had faith. I was born into a family that was very faith-filled, very much churchgoers, and I believed what they believed. And I followed that for many years, and I called that my childlike faith, my faith in, you know, that religion and what I would receive if I followed that religion. And then as I grew and I had a number of children with physical difficulties, that started to wane and wax, and it started to teeter-totter, and I started to doubt and question God and you know, why all the time. And so I kind of pulled away from that faith, and I was lost for a while without anything. And then I, you know, then other faith was faith in diets. You know, this next diet would work for me, and you know, this next whatever miracle pill might work for me, and I had faith in that stuff. And it wasn't until, you know, I picked up that phone and made that phone call and dialed somebody, and I was crawling on my hands and knees in the food and in the sugar, and I had lost all faith in myself and in anything available to me. And she said, and I'll never forget this, are you desperate and are you willing to go to any lengths? And I said yes to both of them, but the willing to go to any lengths was to start to believe in a God and a higher power that would work for me. And, you know, Ebby said to Bill, you know, find a God, you know, have your own conception of God. And so mine has changed over the years, and now I have a higher power that does miracles. Every day I see them all around me. Sponsees being, you know, finally finding an abstinence that works for them, and so excited to be working in the big book. And so I think that's all I have to share. I was just excited to hear all the shares and to end my Friday, or to begin my Friday this way. Thank you very much again, Team Friday, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Bruce E., please share with us.
Hello, this is Bruce E. Yeah, it's me. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody on the line. Yeah, this is absolutely wonderful. I was just thinking about when we first started reading this and talking about it, that these last number of days, it's been all about faith. You know, it really has. This has been all about faith. So I'm changing the name of this chapter from We Agnostics to the Faith chapter. Anyway, for my own purposes. Don't get mad at me. All right. Imagine life without faith. Well, today I can't imagine life without faith. Although I've been just the last 2 days, I've been just struck with fear that I've had a real hard time shaking. It's finally shaken off me this morning, and this meeting's helping a lot. But faith. My mom, so I grew up in a family, dad and brother were pretty much atheist, and I was too, and my mom was full of faith. She had a lot of faith, and we saw that. But she told me at a certain point when I was an adult and I started realizing I had an eating disorder that, and she did too, that God will help you with everything except the one thing he won't help you with, and that's food. He'll help on everything else, but not food. And I sort of bought into that, you know, because I'd tried God, you know, I'd been using God like a genie, you know, take him out of the bottle, ask a bunch of things of them, put them back in a bottle. And then my sponsor said, if you want what I have, you're going to do what I did to get it. And he's working his, you know, working like his hair is on fire at making this thing work. And really trusting God for sure. And I've been doing that. So, but holy cow. My mom, taking a look back and looking at my mom, all those years that I was an atheist and agnostic, I heard a guy say, I was watching this guy on TV, and his mom must have had a lot of faith, but he got involved with the wrong crowd, and he was dating a woman that was a mafia leader from Colombia. And how he made it through, somebody said, how did you ever make it through? And he said, well, the way I made it through was, he said, I knew when to get in, I knew when to get out. He said, I had a mama that was praying for me every day, and I was one major lucky MF-er. And that was true for me. I must have had a mom that was praying for me all those years, you know, because I knew when to get in and out. I was one lucky MF-er, and I had a praying mama. So I thank God for my mom that she prayed for me all those years and brought me through all that stuff that I went through. But I believe this. I can't imagine a life today without faith. I mean, I just can't imagine. But my whole life, all I had was faith in myself, and I failed. And I had faith in a Monday coming up. I'll binge all weekend. When Monday comes, it's going to be a diet. And that worked at first, or it was a fast. It worked at first. And then, like I heard earlier, I ran out of Monday mornings. I mean, I totally ran out. You know, I didn't have any more Monday mornings. They didn't come. I binged right through the weekend, planning on a diet on Monday. I binged right through Monday. Oh, I'll do a Tuesday. I binge right through Tuesday. Binge right through the whole week and right through the following weekend. So, man, this is a better life being recovered. So I'm Bruce. I'm very grateful. Recovered food addict in North Carolina. And that, like I say, that fear's just fallen off of me. And I'm grasping that. And I'm getting more into gratitude. Just the opposite of fear, and I'm doing better. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Kayla T., please share with us.
Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you for letting me share. I just want to check in this morning. I've heard a lot of really good things, and I just relate so much to everyone's shares. And, you know, I think the first line is what really strikes us all, is that imagine life without faith. And I think there was a time in my life where I did not have faith in that, the fact that I was so self-reliant that everything that I tried, every act of reason, every ounce of effort that I put in always ended in more failure, right? And it wasn't until I got to program and I started to work the steps and I got the opportunity to just uncover, discover, discard that which blocks me from the sunlight of the spirit. And every single day I get that opportunity to work these steps and to keep that channel clear. And much like the last speaker, I, too, have been struck with some fears in the last few days and, you know, identifying just my actions as, you know, the director in the show and trying to arrange the lights and the scenery and the ballet and all the players, and stuck in this weird selfishness. But here's the blessing in all of it, is that I have a program today. I have a God of my understanding. I have a true, undoubted faith that all really is well, so long as I continue to do these steps and work towards drawing closer to my higher power. And, you know, yesterday, I don't know how many times I heard the word surrender, and it's about 7 a.m. where I'm at now, and I'm working on my surrender. You know, it doesn't come naturally for me every day. It doesn't come at the blink of an eye when I wake up. I have to check in with meetings and check in with self and God and do an inventory and clean up the stuff that's blocking me every single day. You know, my faith today is something that I never even knew existed. Somewhere in the big book, it talks about we get to live in this fourth dimension. And I've come to know that as a truth for me. It's not every day, you know, I have to really work at it. And I'm so grateful that we have this program and like-minded people at where I'm at 7 a.m. in the morning, that I can check in and get realigned with my higher power. And I can hear the music of the heart and just one of us sharing with another. And I'm just very grateful that I get to be a part of this today, that I don't have to struggle with reason all the time. But I do get very amazing fourth dimension moments of serenity and happiness and peace in my life, despite all the chaos that is actually going on. You know, my faith in my higher power is just growing every day. The more challenges that I'm presented with, and the looking back and being able to say, oh my gosh, I got through that, we're going to get through this. And that is faith for me. That faith and hope kind of go hand in hand. And I'm just grateful to have those experiences. So thank you for my life. That's it.
Thank you, Kayla T. Tara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L. recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. I thank you for everyone who's doing service and bringing this meeting to us today. Imagine a life without faith, and I love that we're nothing left but pure reason. It wouldn't be life, but we believed in life. Of course we did. And when I look at it, I get a chance to look at it and say, wait a minute, I did have faith. I had faith that I could fix all my own problems. I had faith that if I just worked hard enough, I could get thin enough and life would be good. I had faith that if I controlled and manipulated every situation, everything would be good. And that faith didn't work out, because what it left me was getting up in the morning, eating a diet breakfast, and continuing to eat the rest of the day because I could just not get through life. It left me being a screaming shrew with my family. It left me totally unfulfilled because I didn't have a higher power. I had a higher power of my childhood, but there was no higher power to lean on. There was no higher power to know that was filling me up and taking care of me. And today, in recovered, I found that higher power. You know, I really love that analogy that I've heard on our lines of, you know, my will and is a battery. And when it runs out of energy, what do I have to do? I have to plug into the wall. I need to plug into a higher power to be filled up, right? I can't function because I'm going to run out of energy. And all of my best ideas got me to where I was demoralized and done, and life was unmanageable. And when I stopped and I just worked these steps, like my hair was on fire, and I let go of my faith in self, and I gave my faith over to a higher power, that's when my life changed. That's when I could wake up in the morning and I could say, how may I be of service today? That's when I could trust that the day would be fine, because I opened my eyes and I connected with that higher power, and I knew that the higher power was in charge of my day. And things that were so hard that I tried and self-accomplished became easy. And my fears did slip away. And when I slip up and I go back into my own will, there's a path for me. There's a program of action for me to bring me back to that beautiful place of surrender and that beautiful place of reliance and leaning in to my higher power, of bringing my higher power's light into this world through my actions. And I'm ever so grateful because it allows me to breathe and it allows me to be a functioning human being of service to others today, which is really all I ever want. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you to everyone.
Thank you, Kara L. Beatrice O., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. from Northern California recovering. So imagine life without faith. Well, I have faith. I believed in God, but I wasn't sure he was going to do anything for me. When I got in this program and I was supposed to turn my life and will over to the care of God, I was a little pissed about it. Because the God that my childhood or that my youth wanted was, you know, I wanted utopia. Why was I born with brown eyes and brown hair? And why was I born on the wrong side of the tracks? And why was I poor? And why was my mother all effed up? And why was I being abused? I mean, if God loved me, he would have protected me. You know, and as far as faith, I couldn't have faith in God because I didn't trust him. And because I had so much abuse, I felt like I was less than. And, you know, I believed in a higher power, but, you know, I was one of those kids that he really didn't care about. Even though in my soul I believed that he loved me somehow, you know, that I had the love of God, but I don't think I believed it. You know, I believed more in this disease than I believed in God. I believed in the pain and suffering of this disease more than I believed in recovery. And the other thing I realized is I was carrying my wounds around. Either consciously or unconsciously, I was carrying the pain from my past. And so it was really hard to recover. Not only that, I was projecting my experience on other people. And, sooner or later, I had to stop grieving my past and grieving the childhood that I never had. And I had to stop blaming God. And I had to, when I came to step three and started to have some faith, I started to be grateful that God had gotten me through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so why should I be in fear today? The other thing is, I used to hold my wounds as an excuse. It's been hard to untrain my brain, I'll finish up here. I don't have to be afraid of God. And I have faith today, and I'm very grateful. And I'm a recovering food addict. And the last thing I'll say, pain is a great messenger. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. We have time for one more share. Who would like
Nadia to? Nadia B.
Debbie, go ahead, please.
This is Nadia. Thank you.
Oh,
so
Nadia.
Much.
I'm sorry. I don't know why you heard Debbie. Go ahead.
Thank you. Nadia B. from Connecticut. I just, was inspired by your shares, guys. I sit here and I think, oh my goodness, I really don't have to imagine this life without faith. I've come pretty close to it. The reason I was eating it because I couldn't stop and I believed I couldn't stop. And the reason that I couldn't stop eating was because I wanted to. That was my reason. I was stuck in my worship of me, my will, my mind, my intellect, my logical reasons. It got me to finally come to believe that I am not enough. And I become depressed, suicidal. The suicidal thoughts creeped in. And so I was extremely depressed. I didn't have to imagine this. Page 52 of the Devilments is the insanity that I know too well. I couldn't distinguish reality from my beliefs. And, I didn't have the ability to do that. That's why I was here. I was here for years, and I still couldn't, because I could not surrender my will. This was absolutely insane, delusional, sad, and I couldn't see what I couldn't see, and I have every reason to eat, and I couldn't find reason to live. It tells us that, it wouldn't be life, and it wasn't. Who wants to live life the way that I lived life, or the way we live life, 24/7 fighting the thoughts about food? That's not what's promised to us, and that's why I'm here in this program. That's why I need the power grounded in reality, the real power, not what I think it is, what I believe it is. Sometimes, I believe I'm delusional. That's what step two says. That's what insanity is for me. Sometimes I can't see things that are so obvious to someone in whom the problem had been solved. And, you know, today the difference is that I'm willing to look for that power, search for it like my hair is on fire. I think that's the phrase of the day today. And that is the reason that I need faith. I can't live without faith. I don't, you know, today I can't just choose not to. You know, I don't want to regress into my self-created insanity. And, you know, I need God regardless. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nadia B. Thank you to all who have shared and all who have listened. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Jordanelle, are you able to read page 164, A Vision for You?
I am, Kathy. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Good morning, guys. My name is Jordanelle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, just on my way into work in Crested Butte, Colorado. This is 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Get freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in